Ruth chapter 4. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the close relative of whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Barnes makes the following observation. The gate is the place of concourse, of business, and of justice in Oriental cities. The Archaeological Study Bible amplifies. The city gate played a key role in the city's defensive structure. In fact, to possess the gate of a city was to possess the city itself, as in Genesis chapter 24, verse 60. They blessed Rebekah and said to her, "May you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them." The role of such a gate, however, also extended to the economic, legal, and civic spheres of life. Markets, as well as various legal proceedings, were held by the gates, as in 2 Kings chapter 7. Then Elisha said, "Listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria." For example, Abraham purchased the cave of Machpelah at a city gate. Genesis 23, beginning in verse 17. So Ephron's field, which was in Machpelah, which faced Mamre, the field and cave which was in it, and all the trees which were in the field, that were within all the confines of its border, were deeded over to Abraham for a possession in the presence of the sons of Heth, before all who went in at the gate of his city. In the matter of redemption, 2 components were required. First, the relative closer than I, as Boaz described the primary redeemer, must appear and exercise his right of first refusal. Also, Boaz chose 10 elders of Bethlehem. Why 10? You can spend a lot of time researching the number 10 in Scripture. After all, this number is mentioned 242 times. Personally, one need look no further than the book of Exodus chapter 20. There were exactly 10 commandments. Again, why 10? I would suggest the answer lies in Moses' account in the first chapter of the first book. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them." God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens, to give light on the earth. God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God said to them, be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food. God spoke 10 times to create the heavens and the earth. I think we need not belabor the point. The number 10 is about wholeness and completeness. Boaz has assembled everyone and everything needed for redemption. It is time to make the case. Continuing in verse 3. Then he said to the closest relative, Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Boaz has presented the first part of the redemption case, that involving the estate of Elimelech. The closer relative agrees. But wait, there's more. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance. Barnes explains, observe the action of the Levirate law. If there had been no one interested but Naomi, she would have sold the land unclogged by any condition. The law of Levirate having no existence in her case. But there was a young widow, upon whom the possession of the land would devolve at Naomi's death, and who already had a right of partnership in it. And the law of Levirate did apply in her case. It was, therefore, the duty of the Gaal to marry her and to raise up seed to his brother, that is, his kinsman. And he could not exercise his right of redeeming the land unless he was willing, at the same time, to fulfill his obligations to the deceased by marrying the widow. Levirate law? It is written. Deuteronomy chapter 25, beginning in verse 5. When brothers live together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the deceased shall not be married outside the family to a strange man. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her to himself as wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. It shall be that the firstborn whom she bears shall assume the name of his dead brother, so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel. Naomi could not participate in the satisfaction of levirate law because of her age. As she said herself in Ruth chapter 1, but Naomi said, "Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." But, as we discovered previously, grace prevailed in the selfless loyalty of Ruth, resulting in her being adopted by Naomi. Satisfaction of levirate law was made possible by the sovereignty of the Lord. Continuing in verse 6, the closest relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, because I would jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself, so you may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it." Let's recap the providence of God in our story just this far. Number one, a famine strikes Judah. Number two, Elimelech and his family sojourn from Bethlehem to Moab. Number three, Elimelech, the patriarch, passes away, leaving his inheritance to his sons. Number four, one of the sons, Mahlon, marries a Moabite woman named Ruth. And number five, both sons pass away, leaving Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth, three widows, alone in Moab. Number six, the famine passes. Number seven, Naomi selflessly grants Orpah and Ruth their freedom. Number eight, Orpah accepts. Number nine, Ruth refuses, clinging to Naomi. Number 10, Naomi adopts Ruth as her daughter. Number 11, Naomi and Ruth return to Bethlehem at the time of the barley harvest. Number 12, Bethlehem welcomed the pair. Boaz is informed. Number 13, Naomi sends Ruth to glean after the reapers in the field of Boaz. Number 14, Boaz takes notice of Ruth. Number 15, Boaz is gracious to her. Number 16, Boaz provides protection to her. Number 17, Boaz is generous to both Naomi and Ruth. Number 18, Naomi is given a plan for Ruth's future and security. Number 19, Ruth executes the plan. Number 20, Boaz reacts wisely to the plan. Number 21, Boaz is given a plan for the redemption of Elimelech's inheritance. Number 22, Boaz is even more generous with Naomi and Ruth. Number 23, Boaz obediently executes the redemption plan. Number 24, the closest relative, that is, the primary redeemer, knows his history. And number 25, the closest relative cannot redeem the inheritance. The pulpit commentary explains the expressions "for myself" and "for thyself" are significant. The anonymous relative does not conceal the idea that it would be only on the ground of doing what would be for his own interest that he could entertain for consideration the proposal of Naomi. He likewise assumed that if Boaz should be willing to act the kinsman's part, it would be simply because it could be turned to account for his own interest. He did not know that there was in Boaz's heart a love that truly seeketh not her own, but in honor prefers the things of another. The principal idea here is relatively straightforward in the affairs of God. The issue is one of the heart. The closest relative is motivated strictly by the rule of law and fear. From Numbers chapter 25, while Israel remained at Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab. For they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor, and the Lord was angry against Israel. It is likely that the closest relative was familiar with Scripture. It is also very likely that he was familiar with the fate of Mahlon, who married Ruth and subsequently died. But this is yet not the end of God's story. For now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.